G'day folks, and welcome to the Footcast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. My name's Oliver Brandt, and with me this week is Michael Goncalves.
Hey Sam.
And Luke Henderson.
Hello there.
We've got a great episode lined up for you this week, all about some upcoming Mario games, a brand new Mario movie, and the impending shutdown of the 3DS and Wii U servers. But first, let's talk about F-Zero. So, F-Zero Maximum Velocity is now out on the Switch, Nintendo Switch Online service, as another addition to the Game Boy Advance library, which brings the GBA library up to a whopping 14 games. Just incredible numbers there. So it is also the last announced Nintendo Switch Online retro game, with no other games known across any platform on Nintendo Switch Online. So yeah, Maximum Velocity, quite a fun F-Zero game. It's not the F-Zero game that everybody wants, which is a new one, or even or, like GX.
GX remastered or something.
But it's here.
What was really funny though was like, was it the day before or the day of, either side of it, the day of this release being announced, F-Zero 99 got like a big content update with like mirrored tracks and a mirrored GP and auto steering and all sorts of bells and whistles. It's like all of a sudden F-Zero, the franchise, just got a heap of love from Nintendo. It's like the most they've ever seen since the GameCube release. And now it's just faded away again.
I thought F-Zero 99 wasn't getting any more updates. Or was that just like, surprise?
Yeah, they said it wasn't going to get any new updates. And then they've just like continued to update it like normal since then. Like there's been like four or five updates since then that have like added new cups or whatever. Like it's, yeah. Nobody knows why they even said that they weren't updating it, but
at least it's still there. At least it didn't get like shot in the head like Mario 35. So
Pac-Man 99 as well.
Yeah, I mean that one deserved to get shot in the head, but
yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I think the GBA library in particular is like very lacking right now, because like I grew up with the GBA and like, even as a child, I had more than 14 games, and none of the games that I had are even on the service. So, I mean, Golden Sun, that's now on there, but other than that, not much.
Give me some Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. That game was sick on Game Boy.
Yeah. Although, that would be owned by Microsoft now, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it's Activision, it's licensed with all the music and stuff.
Yeah,
and they because they now own Vicarious Visions again, or Blizzard Albany. There's technically nothing stopping them.
Yeah,
hey, it's they could go to oh god, what's its name? The studio that made the Mario Kart with the actual go kart, Valen. They're in a bit of financial strife at the moment, so they could go to them and say, "Hey, do you want to remaster the Tony Hawk series for us again?" Because a lot of the folks that started that up left Vicarious Visions, so there's some stuff they could do.
I mean, if we're talking about Activision stuff, Activision was actually like a really large supporter of the GBA.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Activision games. And like even like in flagship series that Activision owns, like maybe not Call of Duty, but you know, they had the Spyro Orange and Crash Purple, which had interesting connectivity with each other. And yeah, all sorts of strange things like that. I mean, it would be nice to get Banjo on GBA as well.
There's a lot of rare stuff on the GBA that...
Yeah.
Castlevania? You know, since,
yeah, Castlevania would be nice, but I mean, there's the Castlevania Advance Collection that...
Yeah, no, like, it won't happen, but like, all the Castlevanias rule.
Is
Fire Emblem on the service yet?
There's a Fire Emblem on GBA.
Yeah, sorry, is it on the service though? I don't remember if they put it on.
The Blazing
Fire
Blade.
Emblem The Blazing Blade released on June 23rd, 2023.
Okay.
But yeah.
They did put it on there.
Because I opened up my big list, because I've got stats. So the first GBA game released on February 8th, 2023. The last one just released a week ago on the 29th of March. That means the average days, amount of days between the first release and the last one has been 23 days. So on average, every 23 days, we've received a new Game Boy Advance game. Which, when you look at it like that, isn't so bad.
Any of the Pokemans for GBA?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No,
I mean, like not even the...
Mother 3 Nintendo.
Yeah, like, not even the spin-offs have come to... The Pokemon spin-offs have come to GBA either, because there were a lot of spin-offs in that era. Like, we had...
I think the only one we've gotten is Pokemon Trading Card Game on Game Boy.
On Game Boy, yeah. And on N64, we have the stadiums and Puzzle. Whatever that was called. Hamilton Pond and Pokemon.
There is a Castlevania Legends on Game Boy.
Yeah, but it's so bad.
I'm waiting for Castlevania 64 to be added. If they're going to give us all the Castlevanias and start with the shit ones, that has to be up there as a new title.
It was surprising me how much of a cult following Castlevania 64 has. There's a ton of people that love it. It's really weird.
In any case, they could have put, you know, Advance Wars on there, 1 and 2.
Well, the other one's been out for a year in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So maybe they'll celebrate by putting out the games people wanted.
Maybe they'll release it in Japan. Because it still has not released in Japan.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, there's a lot of GBA games that I think would be interesting. As I said, like, there's Pokemon spin-offs, like Pokemon Pinball, Ruby and Sapphire, that was very good.
The Mystery Dungeon series got a start on the GBA. So
it did, yeah, with Red Rescue Team. And there was even, I think, there was a game that was like Dash, whichever one came before Dash. Because Dash was a DS game. But there was a GBA game before that. I can't remember the name of it. Or maybe I'm just, like, imagining things altogether.
I mean, that's possible.
WarioWare Twist is not on there, is it?
Nope.
That'd be so cool. Because you can actually use the tilt stuff in either
and
the
Pro
Controller.
And the emulator has the tilt stuff in there.
So yeah, I mean, we know from, like, Kirby Tilt and Tumble.
It's one of those games that people have trouble playing because it uses specialized hardware, and you could actually do it reasonably well with Switch. And
I think the only game from memory that wouldn't work on the Switch GBA app would be Boktai. Because their whole shtick was playing outside in the sun.
But you know,
I mean, that's a Hideo Kojima game, so that should be, like, worshipped by everyone because they love his games.
Yeah. I mean, WarioWare Twisted is also one of, I think, what, two games? Three games that has Rumble as well. The other one I know of being Drilldozer.
Didn't Pokemon Pinball, or was that the GBA, the Game Boy one had Rumble?
I think the Game Boy one did. I don't think the GBA one did.
I know on Game Boy, Star Wars Episode 1 Racer had Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why not Drilldozer? Drilldozer was a great game.
Is that a Bandai product, or is that Nintendo?
That was made by Game Freak.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking Dig Dug, not me.
I mean, Dig Dug, yeah, put that on there too.
Basically, there's a lot they could bring over.
There is, yeah. And, yeah, we've only got 14 of them, and no more announced games. So,
across the six platforms, there are now 233 games on Switch.
Yeah. And I think, like, for how much you pay for that, like, it's kind of worth it. You know, I've had discussions about these value propositions before, but, like, given that you also get online play and Mario Kart DLC and all of that stuff, like, it's worth paying for Nintendo Switch Online. But
yeah, I think they need to do more with their DLC stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, they started doing all this DLC stuff, and it's like, okay, if this is, like, Game Pass, but for DLC, like, a reverse Game Pass, really, because on Game Pass, you don't get the DLC for stuff.
Yeah.
You get the game, so this is, the like, a reverse Game Pass for Nintendo games. Like, that would be kind of cool. But then they did it for, like, three games, and then never did anything else with it.
But to be fair, they probably haven't done much DLC since those games.
Well, they did the Splatoon DLC and the Xenoblade DLC, so...
Yeah, I mean, the Xenoblade DLC is fairly chunky, isn't it? I haven't played it, so I'm not sure. But...
It is, yeah. It's like a full extra game, essentially.
So it's like the Torna one for 2, right? It's really big. Exactly, so for that, I could understand them not doing it, but for Splatoon 3, that would have been a... You know, hey, if you own the season pass, you get some bonus stuff. But if you don't, here's the free or the included version. That would have been like an incredible add-on.
Honestly, I just wanted them to go back and like add previous DLCs, like the Zelda DLC.
Yeah.
You know, even the Xenoblade 2 season pass, they could have added that to the service because then you would still need to buy Xenoblade 2, but you could have the season pass for free.
Yeah. Sure, I don't know what happened, but Smash Bros. DLCs.
Yeah. What's that?
Smash Brothers DLCs.
Oh, that's a really good point, yeah. Because like at this point, like who's buying Smash Ultimate DLC? Like nobody. Yeah. You may as well add it to the service.
The Fire Emblem games have DLC as well, which could be...
They do, yeah. So yeah, there's all these games where like the DLC that like you can tell that they're like maybe selling like 10 copies of that DLC a day at most.
I'd be surprised if they're selling 10 copies a day of the Smash Ultimate DLCs, to be honest.
That's true.
That'd be amazing.
Even if they just turned around and said, look, you know, 18 months after we launch the DLC, it'll go to Switch Online, you'd be like, oh, okay, do I want to pay the $30 or $40 now and buy the DLC and have it for 18 months, or do I wait and get it as part of my subscription? Like, even if that was their goal, that's fine, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's just even with their games they're adding, like, yeah, we got a whole bunch of rare stuff out of nowhere, which is great. But it's like again, because I have my stats up. Mega Drive hasn't seen a game added since June of last year.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, some people might be like, oh, who cares about Mega Drive? It's like, that's fine. You don't care, we don't care about it. But that was one of the reasons they added that additional tier. They bumped the price up for that platform. And if they're not offering content to it, I'm like, well, why should we be paying for it now?
Yeah. I don't know. It's in a weird spot. And I think, like, we're not likely to see any drastic changes to Nintendo Switch Online with, like, an obvious successor console coming in the next 12 months, probably.
Very true.
So. Yeah. Moving on. Something that's a little bit more interesting. So GDC took place a couple of weeks ago now. And brought with it a neat look at some unused Wonder effects cut from Super Mario Bros. Wonder. So GDC is the Game Developers Conference. It's where a whole bunch of game devs get together and show off some of the things that they've made in games and some of the things that they've done and how they achieved it. There's a whole bunch of technical talks and design talks and, you know, all sorts of fun stuff.
It's a conference about how games are made.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, we saw a whole bunch of from the Mario Wonder team. They went to GDC and did a talk on some of the design concepts that they had for Super Mario Bros. Wonder. So yeah, we saw a couple of Wonder effects that were ultimately cut from the game, but I think are really interesting. So one of them is a really strange thing where like you have a giant head made of blocks as Mario, and you have to get through the level without having them destroyed by enemies, which I think is just such a neat concept, but would have been frustrating for a lot of people. Still super cool. And we saw other things from like drawings and stuff where, you know, there were, you know, Mario surfing or, you know, Mario riding a unicycle or dodging Yoshi tongues, which is one of the things that is in the post-it notes that they have in there. So yeah, there's a lot of like really neat and interesting stuff there. That's always fun to see.
I will say this is the second time we've ever seen something like this. I think the first one was the Zelda Breath of the Wild panel, where they were like, oh, we were going to give him a motorbike and we were going to have aliens come in and, you know, all these other things. And eventually we did get the motorbike, but there was a whole bunch of stuff that they showed off about, you know, just how much they conceptualize before they even get into making stuff.
I think, yeah, this is like the second time we've had it. So many people think of games as sort of like this very linear process where, like, the game just sort of exists and then it just gets made. But, like, there's so much of this crazy prototyping of just insane ideas of stuff that they can or can't do. And it's really interesting to see it all.
There's that one thing with the New Super Mario Brothers U on the Wii U. It was that one with the double cherry. That came because of a glitch. So somebody was programming something or something and messed up a value, and all of a sudden there were two Marios being controlled. Like, that entire power-up came about because somebody just messed up during coding and the game duplicated Mario when they picked up something. And that became one of the coolest power-ups in that game. So, yeah, it's not like you're building a house. There's no set plan you have to follow to do it. You have an idea and you just see what happens.
And I think that the house analogy is a really good one there because, like, you know, you make the blueprints, you do the design, and then, like, it's built to those specifications. But, like, game development just does not work like that at all. It's more kind of like building a sandcastle where, like, it sort of depends on how things fall together, and some things might not go right, and, you know, sometimes it ends up bigger or smaller than you intended. So, yeah, things like GDC are really good for this kind of thing, where we see, like, how things happen. But it's something I was actually speaking to a developer about this the other day. And they're saying that, like, part of this is, like, why development processes are, like, so secretive ahead of launch. After launch, that you know, developers will talk about some of the stuff that they cut and stuff. But, like, if a developer was, like, showing every single week, like, this is what we're working on, like, there's going to be stuff that they end up cutting that fans were really excited for. And, like, that doesn't happen so much in, like, film and TV where, you know, they can be a little bit more open about the process. But it does happen here in games where, you know, things that people really love, including the developers, just might not work. Yeah, it is interesting to see these things. But
people get super annoyed by it as well. Like, you already see it, but, like, movie trailers, and sometimes there's a scene in a movie trailer that everyone loves, and then all of a sudden it's not in the final film, and everyone's like, what the fuck happened to this scene? Like, where did it go? Yeah. And you see that with early access games already as well, where, you know, they try stuff, or, you know, they talk about stuff, and then it doesn't work out, and then people just get annoyed, and I'm like, this is how things get made. You just can't have everything, or sometimes things just don't work
well. Even when people, like, when a game comes out and people, like, start data mining it and, like, going through the files and stuff, and they see content that was cut, and, like, why didn't you do this? And I was like, well, sometimes just things don't work the way that they should, or we can't dedicate as much time to this, or, you know, we had it in testing and players just absolutely actually hated it.
One of the questions I love asking devs when I'm talking to them is, what's the one thing you made that people hooked onto that you didn't expect? Because a developer might spend, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks pulling together some new mechanic they think is fantastic, and then people just don't give a shit about that. But the plushie that they've stuck in the corner of a room grabs everyone's attention. I mean, frog chair in Animal Crossing, right? Animal Crossing itself has so many mechanics, but the fact that the frog chair wasn't in New Horizons, you know, to begin with, people got shitty about that. And it's like, that's just one decorative item. You couldn't, like, take it outside and do stuff with it. It didn't hop around or anything. It was just a singular chair. But people got upset that that wasn't in the game to begin with. So, yeah.
Yeah, but games. It's Froggy Chair. What are you talking about?
But that's the point. Is games constantly evolve. And sometimes what a developer thinks is fantastic, a year later, they realize, actually, no, that's not so great. So, yeah, getting a peek behind the curtain is always fun. I mean, I love watching behind-the-scenes stuff on movies and TV shows because it's always fun to see Not them joking around, but, you know, what they're thinking about when they're putting all this stuff together. So GDC for that is pretty fun.
I think it's also just, like, specifically in this circumstance, like, watching or seeing, like, masters at their craft to do what they do. Like, I always find that super enticing. Like, these guys just aren't, you know, I'm not trying to diminish development, but aren't just some random developers. They are truly, like, at the peak of their game, and watching them go through and talk about, like, their process is really interesting.
And you got to remember, this is the C team. I will say, though, when we did see that whole Mario surfing thing, my first thought was, why hasn't Mario gone surfing or gone into water sports in any of the sports spin-off games we've had from him. Because he hasn't.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like Mario Kart should be. It should be like a jet ski game.
I feel like after the whole Mario Odyssey, Mario's nips scenario, I don't think Nintendo ever wants to have Mario without his shirt on ever again.
But there was that surfing mini game in the Olympics, the Mario and Sonic Olympics game. There was that, but it's like, but there's never been like a wave race starring Mario or, you know, Kelly Slater's pro surfing, but, you know, with Mario characters. He's done basically every land sport, but he's just never gone aquatic. And I just thought that was a bit, only because that image was there, and I'm like, that's a bit weird. We've never actually had that, so.
Cool to see is we're going, man, I love how many tangents we're going. But it'd be cool to see a comeback of those old school Nintendo, like Wave Race, 1080 snowboarding, like games that have just really, really just been forgotten and like shoved to the wayside.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean those were made by NST, and the fact that they finally just got another game out after, or two games out in the last year, is kind of impressive. So,
but I think the whole like first party low budget sports game like is not a thing anymore. Like,
yeah, companies just don't
do that anymore. Because like Sega used to make a bunch themselves, and PlayStation, you know, on the PS1 had quite a few of those as well.
I think also like specifically arcadey sports games. Like I feel like all sports games now are like simulators. And like that's basically it.
I will chuckle. I have it behind me because I bought it in Japan for $2. So I'm like, why not? On the Dreamcast I bought the NBA game that they made, that Sega made. It was NBA 2K for Dreamcast. And then that's like one of the biggest sports series in the world because Sega decided to sell off the developer because they didn't see the value in it. So, yeah, I just think that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, we do obviously get like Mario, like, you know, Mario Soccer and tennis and stuff, but like those are like really safe bets, right? Like, it's not a huge, like, you can guarantee that a soccer game is probably going to sell fairly well. You can guarantee that a tennis game is probably going to sell fairly well. But like, I think there's like room in the market for like a snowboarding game or like a wakeboarding game or a jet ski game, right? Like, because nobody else is doing that right now. And like, if anybody can like make it arcadey and make it fun, like it's going to be Nintendo, right? Like, of the companies that are going to do that, Nintendo would do it.
Yeah. I wonder if they did one, like if they did a snowboarding game, for example, like would they do like a Mario snowboarding and just abandon the whole 1080 concept entirely? Or would they do like a 1080 still?
I think they'd probably merge them a little bit.
I think it would probably be more Mario themed than anything. Although like having said that, right, like we've also kind of lost like Zelda spin-off games. And I feel like that's something that needs to come back as well. Like a Zelda, like Breath of the Wild-ish, like shield surfing game would be a hell of a lot of fun. And like that's essentially just a snowboarding game, but recontextualized. Like you can do that. And I guess like they are building a lot of these mechanics into their games as like small things that they do. Like the shield surfing mechanic is like, that is the mechanics of a snowboarding game. Just like a thing that you can do in, you know, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. So I guess they're still doing those things, but like, you know, make a $30 game and like chuck it out on the eShop, right? Like that's all it is. I don't know.
Or put it on Nintendo Switch Online as a value add.
Yeah.
Sorry, telling it back to topic one.
I mean, have like 30 people, like, you know, competing to get to the bottom of a shield surfing hill. Like, why not?
Look, I mean, the fact that we're getting a new Endless Ocean, and let's be honest, Endless Ocean wasn't exactly the series that set the video game landscape on fire, but the fact we're getting a new one of them, but we're not getting a new 1080 or a new Wave Race or something is kind of weird.
When you say that, but looking at the reaction from the new Endless Ocean game, you would think that it was.
Oh, I'm not saying people don't love it. I'm just saying in terms of... The other thing too that I wanted to bring up is... The Mario sports games, we did get a baseball game on the GameCube, and that was when Nintendo owned a baseball team. They obviously don't own it anymore, they sold their part off. And then Square Enix did the basketball game, the 3-on-3 on DS or 3DS, whichever one it was. And then there was the 3DS one that had a whole bunch of different sports in it because they were selling
sports mix.
Those cards there. So they have tried a few over the years, but they just seem to be less eager to put time and effort into these smaller scope sports titles than I would like them to be.
And I would argue that was like probably one of the biggest things like lost from the transition from like separate handheld and console development teams into one unified sort of unit, where like we don't get those smaller, like, because the 3DS had like a bunch of weird experimental games, and like we do get those occasionally on Switch now, but
including like the I don't want to call it sideline, but like the sideline Zelda games. Like we just have this mainline Zelda, and that's it. And
sad. Like we haven't gotten a new top down Zelda game. Like this is the first generation basically since the Super Nintendo, well, since the NES, I guess, since that we haven't gotten a new top down Zelda game. And that kind of sucks. I mean, we have Cadence of Hyrule, which is close enough, but it's not quite the same.
I mean, I'd put in Minish Cap and the Oracle games into that top-down bucket, but...
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, we haven't gotten a new one, right? Like...
A new one.
Well,
the last one was... Not counting the remake of Link's Awakening, but the last one was A Link Between Worlds on 3DS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we had someone like DS as well in... I mean, yes, you could argue that... what do you call it? The
Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks.
Phantom Hourglass. Like, they were top-down-ish. And then before that, we had the GBA, which was Minish Cap, and before that, Game Boy. But, like, we just don't get top-down Zeldas now. Like, that's just a thing that's kind of
They sort of got shoved onto the handhelds. Consoles got the 3Ds, handhelds got the 2Ds. And it's sort of the way it was for the longest time. So, I don't know.
I mean, hey, maybe Grezzo has been working on a new top-down 2D Zelda. But
I mean, they have to be working on something because they've been very, very quiet for a long time now.
They have been. So. They did like
one. Unlike Goodfield.
Miitopia.
Miitopia.
I mean, Goodfield did Princess Peach Showtime. Not Super Princess Peach. That's a very different game.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, they were really quiet, and then they put out last year the Goemon spiritual successor. And everyone was like, oh, that's their game. And, you know, who knew they were just in the background? They also had a Peach game in development. Like, such a weird little thing for them to be responsible for. If anyone was going to do it, I wouldn't have thought Goodfield. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, we've gone off on a wild tangent because that started about Super Mario Brothers Wonder. All right, so we've got a couple of announcements out of Mario Day. So on Mario Day, which is March 10, which is definitely recently and not a month ago at the time of recording, Nintendo...
Literally, we recorded our last show on Mario Day. This happened like 8 hours after we finished recording because Nintendo of America did it.
Yeah. Nintendo announced a release date for Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door. So it's coming out on May 23rd, 2024. They didn't really give us any new information about the remake, although I've seen some scenes from the game sort of here and there on social since then, like the opening cutscene and just a couple of screenshots and stuff. I've spoken about this in the past, but like I don't think this should exist. like I'm excited for all of the Thousand Year Door fans. Like, you know, they get a shiny new game that looks largely similar to the old game and runs at half the frame rate. But
I mean, we talked about this just recently in our chat. Like, I love this game. It's great, but like, I don't want to play this version. Like, I don't want to play it at 30 FPS, and well, less than 30 FPS. Looking at these videos, like, it doesn't look great. Like, I don't know why they've made this choice. It's really, really stupid. I'd rather just play the GameCube version. I know that that's not an option for everyone. The GameCube version didn't sell a heap to begin with, so there's not that many copies, and it sells like a bajillion dollars constantly. But yeah, this, I don't know.
But like, my thing with it, right, is that like, we saw with, like, for example, the Super Mario Sunshine, right? We saw an HD remaster for that, and that was absolutely wonderful. Like, the Mario Sunshine remaster was really good. Why does this need to be a ground-up remake when the tech already exists? Like, Nintendo's already done the remaster. Like,
put
the
work into it. I completely agree.
Remastering.
Like, 100%. Like, I think the weirdest part is that, like, yes, it's a ground-up remake, but it doesn't look, like, that visually more insane than the original game. It looks like the original game, but with higher resolution everything, right? Which is what people wanted. But they've remade it instead of remastered. It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, that's the thing.
And now, because of the remake, like we discussed, it runs so much worse.
Yeah, and like, it should have been a remaster from the get-go. Like, all the high-resolution assets that we're seeing, like, you could put those into the original game and then have a game that looks identical, but also runs better. So, yeah, it's really frustrating for me because, like, people will say, oh no, it's good that we have this remake because now people get to play it. It's like, okay, but if this was a remaster, it would have cost like Nintendo a fraction of that and
people would still get to play it.
Yeah.
Do you know what engine it's running on?
We don't. I don't think we even know who's actually making it yet because Nintendo is weird about that.
Intelligent Systems are the folks that are tagged on all the press stuff. So I would imagine, but they're the original developers, so I don't know if it's because it's, you know, a remake of an original game or if it's something because they're doing the new work. I don't know, but it's Nintendo and Intelligent Systems on all the stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if they just, like, if they used the engine that they used for Origami King for this as well.
Yeah. I will say, though, I did get a survey. It's one of those few people that was gifted a survey from Nintendo during the week, and it was all about Paper Mario RPGs, or Mario RPGs, like Paper Mario and the Mario and Luigi series and all that. It's just a lot of questions about which of these games has the best visual style, which of these games' gameplay did you enjoy most, and all that sort of stuff. It's a very weird survey to release, you know, a month away from,
well, see,
2 months away.
I have a theory about that, because I saw people talking about that, and they're like, oh, does this mean there's going to be more RPGs? I think that survey solely exists so that Nintendo can, like, fine-tune its marketing strategy ahead of release. I think they just want to know what people like about the RPG games so that they can, like, focus on those things in, like, the trailers in the 2 weeks up to launch.
Yeah, it makes total sense, because looking at their recent Paper Marios, they really don't know what people want. So
that's true.
Can we just be grateful they haven't shoved stickers into this one? Like, some random...
No, I mean, don't count your chickens before they hatch, because, I mean,
it's like 6 weeks to release. I really doubt they're going to put them in at this point.
Yeah, but we have no information about it. All we know is that it's a remake of Thousand Year Door. Like, is it just a straight remake? Have they added stuff? Is there an easy mode like they did with Super Mario RPG? Like, we don't know anything about it so far, so...
True.
Yeah.
And, like, don't get me wrong, I get, like, out of all games that need a 60 FPS, like, this is definitely one that doesn't really. Like, I totally get it. But at the same time, it's dumb. Like, I was saying in the chat earlier, I would never have bet in a million years that when this game was going to get remastered, remade, or whatever, that it wouldn't be at 60 FPS, just because it's such a simple visual style. And somehow they've done it.
it's the same thing. Like, if the game launched originally at 30 and it was coming out now at 60, you'd be like, okay, that's just evolution in tech, right? Better visuals, better frame rate, right? Better audio, the whole works, because, you know, everything has grown over the years in terms of tech. This is one of those things where it's like, okay, we've got better visuals, we're getting new audio, you know, maybe the world's slightly bigger, who knows? But it's like, you're upgrading everything else except you're downgrading one feature. That's not a remake. That's a demake at that point. And it's not one of those things. I'm not being catty about this because it's not, like, I don't care about if it's 30 or 60. I've never been that person. But it's like, if your game is at 60
I'll be that person for you. Don't worry. I have enough of that in me to do it for the entire squad. It's totally fine.
But it's like, if your game was at 60 when it first released and you're remaking it, that is the minimum you need to be making your game to, right? It needs to be the same art style. It needs to be the same audio. It needs to be the same frame rate, right? It needs to be the same gameplay systems because it's a remake. If this was a reimagining, like they're taking that same story and reimagining it to the modern day, then sure, they can do whatever they want. But this is a remake. Even a remaster would still be stuck at 60. So there's no remaster or remake. There's no way they can justify 30 frames because that's taking away what something was already there. And that is where I'm having issues.
I would love to know why, like genuinely. Like I'm looking at like the trailers and stuff and it just, nothing seems to pop out that says this is why this game is running at 30. Like I genuinely
well, that's the thing, like it does not look drastically different from the original. It looks like a little bit shinier, right? But then like
yeah, like there's, you know, there's some reflections and like I think the character models have a little bit of more of a what's it called? Like a more substantial paperness to them. Yeah. But that's not worth the 30, like half the frame rate.
So I've been playing God of War games on stream. And the versions that I'm playing at the moment are the PS3 remasters of the PS2 games that Bluepoint did. And one of the things they added is they added a different lighting package in the game. So now when you're running on a marble floor, you can see the reflection of Kratos running on the marble floor, right? When there's lights, you know, sconces and everything in the wall, they actually illuminate the world a little better. And I keep pointing that because every time I see it, I'm like, you got to remember, this is a PS2 game. PS2 games weren't known for having natural, you know, realistic lighting situations. So every time I see it, it's like they've taken the original game and they've just added to it. So it's still the same art design because, you know, Greek mythology has a very distinctive, you know, feel to it. And they've kept that design, but they've added to it. And that's, to me, what any sort of remake or remaster needs to have is they need to just take what was there and just plus it up, right? You don't have to change anything. You just need to ensure all your enhancements are in favor of, not in detriment to.
Yeah. I'm watching the trailer and it seems like almost every paper surface has a reflection. Like every single piece of paper is a gloss piece of paper. And I've got a feeling like that might be it. Like that's what they've done. they've added reflections and like, and it's just killed it.
So what you're saying is this is the Switch's inability to hit 60 is when they do glossy paper, like when they put RTX in every game on PlayStation 5 and can't hit.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. But for Nintendo Switch, it's the most basic feature that came out 20 years ago, reflections.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. People are like, oh, you know, they can't make it look as good if it's a remaster, and it's like, well, maybe, but also, like, Metroid Prime remastered exists. Don't believe that's true. Yeah.
Like, again, like the fan project of remastering this with high resolution assets looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Any
time there's a fan's thing especially, but anytime there's a remake or a remaster of a classic game, if it went for realistic visuals, it never looks right in the modern day. Because if they change too much, it doesn't look like the old game. But if you take, like, especially like God of War, you look at those cutscenes, the ones that are, you know, rendered like the Final Fantasy movie was. That movie back in its day, the Final Fantasy movie, looked fantastic. You watch it today and you can see the limitations of what they were, you know, forced into using. Same with Toy Story. Look at Toy Story 1 to Toy Story 4. The characters are the same characters, but the detail is so bigger now that they don't look the same. So anytime there's a remaster or remake of a game that doesn't have a unique style, it's a fine line to go with. But this game has an art style that was set in stone on the 64 and was only marginally refined in all the games since then. It doesn't need to be fancy because its art style is so iconic, it doesn't need anything to make it look better because it already looks fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I keep saying, right? So like, yeah, like swap out the things so there's like no aliasing on the assets, right? And then just like chuck a widescreen. I mean, it might be one of those GameCube games that already had widescreen support, but if not, chuck a widescreen hack in there, call it a day. And I don't want to like be down about it, right? Because like I know a lot of people love Thousand Year Door and they're gonna like love the shit out of this remake, and you know there's gonna be a lot of people who have heard about Thousand Year Door from, you know, various sources and people like hyping it up, and this will be their first chance to actually play it. So, you know, I'm excited for those people. I just wish that the resources had been put, like, I would rather have two nice looking and nice performing remasters than one ground up remake that has major compromises.
I would take a remaster of the 64 and the GameCube game over the remake of this game, hands down.
I will play devil's advocate on this and to say Nintendo have been known to release trailers that don't show the game in the best light in its first or second debut or showings, and then eventually we get a trailer that does look good. It's possible that's the situation here, is the, you know, in development build.
100% not possible that is the situation here.
I again just playing devil's advocate. I don't think it is, but you know, Nintendo have surprised us before with games that have looked chunky at release and then looked fantastic. Sorry, chunky at debut, looks great at release. Could happen.
I mean,
here,
they might, you know, get a stable frame rate, because that's definitely not what they've shown at all. But like, I don't think it's going to be 30 to 60. Like, it'll maybe just be a stable 30. But even then, that's a big question mark for me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see how it is when it actually comes out. But yeah, I don't know. I just think a remaster would have been the better choice. And it's a little bit disappointing to me that they've gone with the ground up remake and not just a remaster. Because, I mean, you know, segueing into our next topic, there is another remaster coming out, you know, just a month later, in Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. So that was also announced on Mario Day. That's coming out on June 27, 2024, and it's just Luigi's Mansion 2, but in HD. And it looks fine. You know, I don't think it looks amazing. It doesn't look as good as Luigi's Mansion 3, but that's a high bar, honestly.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3 was... I remember that was the first game. Yes, it is only at 30, but I remember getting it, and I'm like, damn, this game looks gorgeous, though. Like, they really nailed it.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's, that's Next Level Games, right? And they are just... They will make the most out of any hardware, basically. They're really, really good at that. Obviously, again, only 30 FPS, but I don't think it takes away from the experience at all.
This one was 30 FPS when it launched, so
yeah,
if it's still 30 FPS, it's still the same game.
And obviously, I'm just watching the video, but it does look like it's running at like a native res, like a 1080p, yep. And possibly with some AA. Like, it's obviously really hard to tell with like a video, but it looks quite good.
Yeah, I mean, it does look good. And like the screenshots that they've provided for it are slightly better than the initial trailer that they showed. Like they've done some nice things with lighting where it looks just a little bit better, and some of the textures aren't quite as like fuzzy and gross. So yeah, I mean, this is like, it's not a major overhaul. It's, you know, a nice, you know, subtle remaster where a lot of what they've done is just like up-resing it to 1080p and, you know, tweaking some of the textures, and it looks honestly great.
I think the models have definitely been wrong.
Yeah. I think they brought in some of the
definitely added more
Luigi Mansion 3 models. I will say though too, this is one of those games that had such a, you know, stylized look initially that it just sort of works across both things. I will say too, the fact that we're not getting a remake of Luigi's Mansion 1 or even just a generic port across is kind of annoying. To have 2 and 3 on the Switch and not 1, and 1 obviously being a GameCube, they could just throw it in that fancy little emulator that Nerd made for them.
See, here's the thing, right, is that like they remade Luigi's Mansion 1 using the engine for Luigi's Mansion 2 on the 3DS.
Yeah.
In the like dying days of the 3DS, so like...
Which is one of those weird decisions that Nintendo loved.
Like, it's all there, right? Like, all of the stuff that they need to put Luigi's Mansion 1 on the Switch is there. And then maybe they're just, like, waiting to see, you know, maybe in September or October we'll get that as well. But, yeah, it's a
weird... I would love to see them just do it through the same thing they did for Sunshine. Like, that alone would just be fine for me. Just to have it on Switch. Nothing fancy, no major changes, just bring it across.
I'm still amazed that we didn't get more 3DS ports slash like remasters on Switch, to be honest.
Maybe we will for Switch 2. Maybe that's why the launch was delayed.
Yeah, that'll definitely be the reason why.
Alrighty. We will actually talk more about 3DS a little bit later. But first, a new Super Mario Brothers movie was kind of announced-ish. So we know that the next Super Mario Brothers animated movie from Illumination is coming on April 3rd, 2026. So the film is currently in the pre-animation stage, so planning and pre-production and stuff. And it's pretty much the same creative staff as the first film that will be heading up this film. notably, the announcement for this doesn't mention whether it's a sequel or a spin-off. The press release just says that it's based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. So there's been a lot of, you know, suggestions that this could be like a Yoshi's Island kind of game, because we saw Yoshi at the end of the first movie. So like having a flashback and being like, hey,
maybe it's going to be like Yoshi. Spider-Man, the third Tom Holland Spider-Man, and we're going to get Bob Hoskins Mario come in, and then the anime from the 80s Mario come in, and the TV show.
They get Bob Hoskins to come back in. That'd be a miracle.
Well, the other one, I can't think of his name. I think it's Lou something. He also
John Leguizamo.
No. Oh wait, what? The one that did Mario in the TV show, the Super Mario Brothers show.
Oh yeah, cool.
I don't know, just because they're like, it's like, okay, it's a sequel. We know it's a sequel, but they just don't want to call it the Super Mario Brothers movie 2. That's the reason why they're not saying sequel. So.
Well, the other thing, right, is that it might not necessarily be a sequel, because it could be about the Kongs before we see them in Super Mario Brothers movie. You know, I would love a Kongs film as long as they don't butcher the music again.
I'm still bitter about the DK rap again.
No, that's, I just fair. Don't want them, like, there was an amazing, like,
Oh, you mean you're putting in modern day music instead of the score?
Yeah,
it was so weird. Like, it's such a strange choice to do. There's so much amazing, like, music in the Mario worlds they could use. Original music, especially even.
They did it. Brian already had all of the score.
Tyler? I can't remember that's his name, but the guy who composed the score, Universal put the entire score up on their press site. And I remember downloading it before I went to see the movie. And I came home and I was like, this wasn't in the movie, but the music in that, the proper orchestral score is just phenomenal.
This is literally what we just talked about like 30 minutes ago.
But no, I mean, I am not like excited or unexcited about a new animated film coming in 2026. I mean,
in 2026, you probably will be. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, in, like, February 2026, once we've actually seen a trailer for this and, you know, it's coming out in a couple months, I might be like, oh, yeah, cool. That's fun.
I think that's the thing, though, right? Like, you can't be, I don't know, I don't think anyone could be excited by this, because it's not going to be, like, a revolutionary film that, you know, drives Mario and cinema forward. It's just going to be a fun Mario film. And, like, yeah, you'll enjoy it when it comes out, but it's not something to be, like, hype master about.
I'm just happy that the same directors are back, because far too often we see sequels get made from films and the directors don't carry across because they've decided they want to do something else or rah. So the fact that the same directors, which again, if anyone who's listened to the show remembers, I spruiked the hell out of these guys in the lead up to the first movie releasing. So I'm very happy that they're back. And also, we have to give credit to Matthew Fogel, the guy who wrote the film, like, because he's the one who put in all these little, you know, not the background Easter eggs, but just all the little nods to the Mario stuff from across the years. Like, you know, when Mario picks up a giant gold coin, like, that was him writing that in the script. So he did a really good job with that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. And I'm sure, you know, it's going to be good in 2 years when we can see it.
I mean, a little bit of Mario news now is the Donkey Kong ride in Universal Studios Japan is now testing. They're actually putting the cart through which is exciting because that opens up in like 3 months is the rumored thing. It's supposed to open up in June. So
I see, yeah, because they said it was going to come out in spring, but I suspected that it would be sooner because, well, they said it would be open by spring.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely want it ahead of the summer crowds because that park gets busy.
I mean, I'm hoping so because I'm going to be there in July, so it would be nice.
I do know the one in Orlando in America. A lot of the temple facades got up for that one, and they're testing the carts now with the dummies. So that's making progress, but that's not till sometime in 2025. So,
in any case, yeah, in 2 years' time, let's talk about the new Mario Illumination movie that we've just all seen.
And of course, we'll have to talk about the random casting of Hollywood star X that we've never considered at all for a role, but they'll have shoved in there, and we'll be like, oh, Jesus Christ.
It'd be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson in like the role of Yoshi or something. It's just going to be the weirdest thing ever.
Yoshi's definitely going to be played by Morgan Freeman.
I would watch that. But yeah, so let's move on to our feature discussion. Hold on, let me just check. One day
13 hours.
Yeah, 30 minutes and 41 seconds, as per the countdown on the Vooks website. Although realistically, by the time you're hearing or watching this, it will have happened already. The 3DS and Wii U servers will be shut down. So what that means is that there's going to be no online play for any 3DS or Wii U games, except for ones that had their own bespoke online system. So some third-party games will work, but most of them.
Some Pokemon stuff on 3DS will still work.
Yeah, so the Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transporter will still work as well if you have them downloaded already. I mean, even if you know, there are other ways to get them onto your console, and they will continue to work. You will be able to continue to transfer between games in Pokemon Bank and to Pokemon Home as well, which is what the Switch games use. But, you know, you'll still be able to re-download all of your games for the foreseeable future. There's no reason to think that's going to change anytime soon because you can still re-download your digital Wii games now. And they shut down their stuff years ago. Regardless, they're still going to shut down the online servers for most of the stuff. So Spot Pass won't work anymore. Basically anything that connects to the internet, apart from re-downloading games and Pokemon Bank, just won't work anymore. Which, you know, is a sad day. But, you know, there are people out there working to restore them unofficially, so, you know.
It's also likely that we won't get any more stability updates for stability going forward, too.
Mm, you say that, but I have a feeling that Nintendo is still going to do, like, anti, like, homebrew stuff as updates.
I wouldn't think so at this point in their life. Maybe for the...
You wouldn't think so, but it's still Nintendo, you know.
But that is very true.
But, yeah, because it is basically the very, very end of, well, almost the end, but we're considering it the very, very end of the 3DS and the Wii U's life. I thought we could talk about sort of our experiences with those consoles. So, you know, games that we enjoyed on 3DS and Wii U, and games that we want ported and kept alive, because there's a lot of fantastic games on 3DS and Wii U that haven't made the jump to any other platform. And by any other platform, I mean Switch, basically.
I'll come out and say the Pushmo or pull block series, depending on which part of the world you live in. That's a trio of games that are just, they're simple, but they're devilishly complex at times. And I think those games deserve to have another life because they were 3DS originally. Then there was a Wii U version. They just need to have more time to shine.
Yeah, I mean, like it kind of. I don't know, it reminds me of the, like, the Box Boy games where they got a second life on Switch. Although I think that was only just in a new game and didn't get ported to Switch. The original games, at least.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still exist in, like, Bushmo or whatever. You know, that doesn't exist anymore. And it should. For me, there's, like, there's, like, a whole bunch of 3DS games that I think should come over. Like, there's no reason, I think, to not bring them over. So, like, A Link Between Worlds, like, even just up-resed, you know, you don't really need the touchscreen that much for that game, so.
Yeah.
You know, up-resed version of that would be great. You know, other Kirby games as well, like Kirby Triple Deluxe and Planet Robobot. Both fantastic games that I think...
I mean, yeah. there's an argument for your whole cheap games made for 3DS, because how many freaking Kirby games did that platform get?
Yeah.
One of the ones I'd love to see brought over is it won't happen, but the NES Remix titles for the Wii U, because that was just like some of the best ways to have fun in classic games. I think they'd maybe not do so well, but I'd just love to see them ported over.
Another one is Metroid Prime Federation Force.
That can die.
It's a really good game. Okay, so it's like, it's a Destiny-ish kind of game, and I think it was really good when you played with friends.
As we saw in the Vooks Discord, how people were always trying to find people to play with.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good game. You know, it wasn't the game that anybody wanted out of Metroid when it was announced, but it is a good game. And I think it was done dirty by the time of its announcement and the fact that it came out, like, 6 months before.
I think it would have been fine if it was just called Federation Force. I think the fact that they stuck Metroid Prime on it is what did that game in. People saw that and were just like, that's not Metroid, and gave up on it straight away.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I also think, like, as a Metroid game, it's fine as well. But at the time, it was like, you know, if Federation Force was announced now, after we've had, like, Prime Remastered and, you know, Metroid Dread and Samus Returns, and, like, the series is very alive and very healthy, then, like, people would not have been so frustrated with it. But then, you know, there's stuff on the Wii U as well, like Xenoblade Chronicles X that is still there, and would be nice to bring over. And that actually does have online features too that are just going to be gone now. There's, you know, Michael's forever suggestion of the earth. Yep.
That's why I'm being quiet, because I'm like, everyone knows what the fuck I want.
Yeah, so Wind Waker HD.
There's also the two Star Fox games on the Wii U that nobody wants brought over, so they can stay put.
I mean,
I think
it's just the controls, though, right? Like, the games themselves were fine, but, like, the thing that murdered those games, which is the forced motion controls that nobody wants.
But I think the whole thing with that is that the cockpit view was on the gamepad screen and everything else was on the TV, and I just don't think they could bring that across without a second screen.
Don't bring it across.
That's what I'm saying, they could stay there. But also, Star Fox Guard was that weird tower defense thing, which it's like, there's 9 bajillion tower defense games on Switch already, and most of them don't do well because it's not a very entertaining genre of game. So,
yeah. So I'd love
sticking Star Fox on it won't help.
I'd love to see Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright on Switch. Mm-hmm. That'd be really cool. And just as a general side note, I'd love to see a Professor Layton collection with all the Professor Layton games, because those games are just incredible and just lost to time for the most part. Or just give me also just a new Professor Layton game, which is coming, but, like, give it to me now.
Well, that's the thing, right, is that, like, we know that the next Professor Layton game probably isn't going to be until at least the end of 2025. In the meantime, you know, we've got a whole bunch of Professor Layton games that you could be putting on the Switch while we wait.
I pulled a list together, and I was talking it over with Vuk about it, about, you know, the games that haven't come from Wii U to Switch yet, and what ones we'd like to see, like, for a feature. And we decided against it in the end because a lot of the games are the, you know, like the Zelda games, like we want them and we don't know why they're not coming, or they're too complex, like Nintendo Land or Star Fox Zero. And I'll be honest, Nintendo Land, half of that stuff doesn't appeal to me. Like the shuriken throwing minigame thing, not that fun. But the Donkey Kong, when we had to tilt the gamepad to roll the cart back and forth, like that was fun. The Zelda, you know, crossbow sword fighting thing was kind of fun. So I've just pulled up a quick list here, and there's Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, which is a follow-up to Kirby and the Rainbow Paintbrush.
I can die.
Like I could take that or leave it. I don't think that was. I think the first one was on the DS was the better one, but like that game wouldn't work if you docked it. It would have to be a handheld only game, which again goes against the whole ethos of what the Switch is. But like I know people don't like it, but Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, like that's a pretty straight easy one to port, especially with the cards that are, you know, Nintendo love to reprint pretty consistently. So that's one they could pump out without too much hassle.
I have to say, as far as Wii U is concerned, like a lot of them have been done. Like they've done quite a large amount of Wii U ports by, you know, obviously the Zelda, which is inexplicable at this point. But
I mean, for me, the biggest one from Wii U is Yoshi's Woolly World, which is my favorite Yoshi game, and just for some reason hasn't been ported over. I think that's an absolute tragedy because, like, it's not like, you know, I would love to have Kirby's Epic Yarn ported over as well, but, like, there's issues with that and that they'd have to remake all of the assets.
Well, that was the one that made Woolly World good. They got all the kinks worked out. That wasn't a yarn joke, but they got all that stuff worked out in Epic Yarn, and Yoshi's Woolly World was like, we learned everything we needed to know. Here's now the better version. So,
yeah,
I don't want them to go backwards.
But, like, they ported both Epic Yarn and Woolly World to the 3DS, and they were both really, really good ports. But, like, they both happened after the Switch had already come out, and it was just, like, I don't know, why, right? Like, I love Woolly World a lot, and I think it's significantly better than Yoshi's Crafted World by a wide, wide margin. So it not being there is kind of sad.
I mean, you know, there's obviously this game, but yeah, there's games like Paper Mario Ultra Smash, but it's like we already have a Mario Tennis game on Switch. I don't think we need to have that really crappy Wii U port brought across because that was not a good game. Oh, okay, let me rephrase it. It wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't what people wanted, and they sort of fixed a lot of that with the Switch one. Looking at this list, somebody's gone, Zombie U could come across. It's like, no, Zombie U is the same problem that like Star Fox Zero has. And we already got a port of Zombie U on Xbox 360 and it just didn't work. It just wasn't, I mean, again, Tantalus, who we love, did that job, but it just wasn't a good port. It was a horrible, horrible port. There's Wario. Oh God, what's the Wario one? Game & Wario. That's on Wii U. So it's another Wario game. Paper Mario, Color Splash, and Sticker Star from 3DS and Wii U. Like,
they stay there.
I'm not saying that Color Splash is good because of the games.
Sticker Star has no redeeming features.
I mean, that's the thing with all Paper Mario games for the most part. Is the writing is just amazing in the majority of them.
I think Color Splash is the best writing in the series.
They'd be good in a collection. Like, if you're going to bring them across, do the Wii Super Paper Mario and then the two color ones, Sticker Star and Color Splash, bring them across just a collection, just to have them on Switch. I think that'd be a fantastic way to bring them across. Maybe not even Switch, maybe Switch 2. They could be a collection for Switch 2, you know, a year after launch.
I think another big one that people want for Wii U's Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah.
Which I think might happen, but I don't know.
I think it could. I think it's less likely now that like Monolith have been like, oh yeah, we've got every single Xenoblade game on the Switch now. You can play the whole series, and it's like, do you?
Amazing.
But
It was just in my head. Dr. Luigi, which is, you know, the Dr. Mario game, but all the pills are L-shaped, because that was from the year of Luigi.
Yeah, did New Super Mario Brother, Super Luigi U ever make it? No, it's not part of any of the things, did it? Is it? That's squarely stuck on Wii U.
I think it's included in the new Super Mario Brothers.
I don't also don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Does New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe have Luigi?
While you Google that, I'll just tell you this list from Nintendo Life. They've got, we'd love to see Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed from Wii U brought across. I'm like, again, that one used some special stuff, right? That's that game on its own would be fine. But then in the same list, they've got Watch Dogs for Wii U and Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut from the Wii U. And it's like, yeah, but those games were customized for the Wii U. If you brought them across it... And I can't see Ubisoft or... I don't even know who owns Deus Ex these days. I think it's Embracer. I can't see them...
It is in the Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe port.
There you go.
There you go.
I thought so. I opened that once, so... some, smaller games that I think, unfortunately probably would never happen at this point because Vanpool is gone. But Dylan's Rolling Western and Dead Heat Breakers were interesting games that, didn't really happen. I think Daniel Worthington would be annoyed if I didn't mention Codename Steam, because, that's a fun little strategy RPG that only he really thinks is
worth playing. No, I will admit, in the big Fire Emblem book that they released a couple of years ago, there's a couple of good pages related to that game. They tried something new, didn't really land the way people of that fans of the developer wanted, but I still enjoyed it. It's just not my typical type of game, so I just give Daniel a lot of crap for it, because every time Intelligent Systems is brought up, he brings up Codename Steam, so...
It's generally like the Kool-Aid man in the books, is that people would just be talking about things and then just he would crash in with Codename Steam.
I'm just looking here at games that are only on Wii U. There's a few Affordable Space Adventures, it's still only on Wii U apparently. Sing Party, but karaoke games are a dime a dozen, so let's not worry about that. Sonic Boom, The Rise of Lyric is still apparently a Wii U only. It's like, okay. Then there's a whole bunch of Ubisoft Sports Connection, Family Party, Game Party Champions, just a whole bunch of random mini game compilation bullshit things. Temple of Yogg is still only on Wii U. Lost Reavers, if you remember that one, that was a Bandai Namco online action game that released out of nowhere.
The 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors, and Zero Escape. The remake they did, what's it called? The Nonary Games never came to Switch. It came to everything else, and then.
I feel like I remember I saw something about this, where they're using essentially just a weird emulation layer thing that is surprisingly taxing on PC.
Interesting.
I don't. No,
that's Vampire Survivors thing. That game was very taxing on PC, so they rebuilt the entire thing.
Yeah,
they just rebuilt it anyway. It was basically running in a fucking browser.
I've just discovered there was apparently a Yo-Kai Watch Dance Just Dance special version released on Wii U.
There was.
So
also the Yo-Kai Watch games, Level 5 is coming back now. There's a port of Yo-Kai Watch 1 on Switch that only released in Japan. Yo-Kai Watch 2 and 3 are good games that just unfortunately were released way too close together and kind of just too much all at once.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see those as well.
I'd like to see some of the Mario Party stuff. So Mario Party 10 on Wii U wasn't great because that lumped everyone in a car, but the Mario Party collections from the 3DS were fun. Again, I suppose we've kind of had that already with Mario Party Superstar or whatever the hell that last one was called. Maybe not that, but I don't know. There's just a few cool ones that bringing across would be fine.
Yeah, a port of the first Bravely Default game from 3DS would be nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much stuff Super Mario 3D Land being stuck on 3DS forever is a sad thought to me.
Yeah.
Especially because Ocarina of Time.
Oh yeah, the 3D remasters of those, or remakes.
Remaster, which like they're the only ones really worth playing these days, but just kind of stuck on 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Whole bunch of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, it's just Yoshi's Woolly World. That's the only one I care about. I just want that one game and nothing else.
Look, with what they've brought across already, I'm happy with what they've brought across, but there's just a few that just makes no sense that why they haven't. Like, one of the ones I'd love to see, and it's not from Wii U or 3DS, but I'd love to see them bring Donkey Kong Country Returns from the Wii across. Mm. Right, that game could do with a bit of a touch-up because it's obviously built for the Wii, but that was a fun game. Tropical Freeze just refined their attempt again, but...
I mean, that's the thing, right? So they sort of, like, tweaked that game for the 3DS, so you didn't need, like, waggle controls anymore. So, like, bring a version of Donkey Kong Country Returns that has waggle controls and button controls, and then, like, hey, we're set, right? Like,
I mean, let's be honest, bloody retro studios aren't doing anything else lately, so.
I mean, there's, like, Rhythm Heaven or Paradise, depending on where you are.
Yeah,
that's like still stuck on previous consoles, right?
Yeah, none of them. Oh no, they did use touch, didn't they? Yeah.
The 3DS and DS ones used touch, and then the Wii was motion control.
I mean, those games you could just easily just use buttons. Like, there's nothing that requires you to do touch or motion controls.
Yeah, it's just tapping with the beat. I mean, what was it? It was from the guy who made Sonic, and I can't think of what it was called now. It was like Let's Tap or something. And it was a Wii game where you had to turn the Wii remotes upside down and put them on a cardboard box that came with the game. And you had to tap the box. It's basically Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, but without the need for giant plastic bongos. Even if they had to do something like that to get the rhythm, you know, Heaven Games Rhythm series working on modern platforms would be fine. Maybe not fine, but I'd understand it.
Yeah, this is just us like talking about games that we like. but I mean,
oh, that's
fine, right? It's not like, you know, there's a lot of fantastic games on 3DS and Wii. And you know, once this shutdown happens in a day, it will be more difficult to play those games online.
Well, there was a story last week or the week before about how a group of Mario Maker players finished off, they got through the final, fan-made stage in Mario Maker, literally days before the service goes offline. So that'll be a missing thing is obviously, like, if you've been playing Mario Maker and you want to have access to all the stages, you know, that'll go away. So that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think Mario Maker uploads recently, like, went down like a few years ago now, but like,
yeah,
so you that can was upload the stage.
That was the thing that they did with about completing every stage in Mario Maker, which I think is done now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They finished that like a week or so ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I mean, we have Mario Maker 2, so like, it's not a huge, I mean, it is kind of a huge loss that Mario Maker 1 has gone offline.
You said that like the we have Mario Maker at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? It's like they kind of are the same game, but like there's some like fundamental changes between Mario Maker 1 and 2 that make them play differently, and the way that you create things is a different workflow, and
the spike changes are so bad.
Yeah, I don't remember
know why too, they but... thought that was good.
The first Mario Maker got years of content updates. Like, they weren't consistent. They weren't, like, every 3 weeks or anything. But they got a couple of years' worth of updates. And then the Switch, within 1 year, they're like, yeah, we're done now.
Yeah, it very much gave off the vibe, like, obviously adding in the Zelda stuff. That was their plan. They were just going to add in, like, more and more of those types of, like, extra things. But then that just got super scrapped.
I think, basically, they had this plan to, like, add more stuff to Mario Maker 2, and then the sales did not reflect any kind of like post-launch support, where, like, you know it didn't sell spectacularly well. And, like, unless it was continuously bringing in money, there probably wasn't, you know, any justification for continuing to do that, which sucks.
I mean, but that also doesn't matter to Nintendo either, because you have games like Mario Party, which sell, like, 50 billion copies a second.
Yeah,
and don't get any goddamn support, so...
Yeah, I think this is an instance where, like, it's very clear that there was supposed to be more support, and then there wasn't.
Yeah.
So...
Look forward to Super Mario Maker 3 on Switch 2.
Yeah, I guess, maybe. I don't know if they're going to do another one.
I think they're done with the Mario Maker series. I mean, like, it would be fun. Like, see, this is the thing, right? If Mario Maker 2 was, like, still supported, it'll, like... They could have added a Wonder Style to it and then, like, have things change when you grab a Wonder Flower. Like, that could have been a really fun thing to do.
I mean, like, it's a bit of a hard one, right? Because, yes, they obviously didn't sell as much as they expected, but, God, people still play it and people still make levels for it, like, constantly. Yeah. Like, it isn't like people aren't using it. It probably has one of the longest, like, lifetimes of a game in a long, long time.
I will admit, I'd love to see them take that Maker, you know, subtitle and make it its own series, so we get a Zelda Maker or an F-Zero Maker or something, or a Donkey Kong Maker. Like, being able to make your own Donkey Kong Country-esque levels, that'd be a no-brainer. There's so much more they could do with that sort of tool set, if you will, that I think they've given up on it. And I don't think we're going to get anything more in that sort of vein from Nintendo anytime soon, but
I think we'll get something, because, like, Nintendo, like most games companies, are very much interested in user-generated content. So I think we'll get something that, you know, utilizes user-generated content. But I think it's more likely to be Mario Kart 9 has a track editor than it will be that, you know, something like Mario Maker, again, where it's like a full suite of creation things. It will be things that are the selling points of games, but not the whole game.
If Mario Kart 9 has a track editor, like, I can't even imagine the amount of tracks that will exist, because that player base is enormous.
I can't imagine the number of tracks are going to look like penises in that game.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, 99.9% of the maps are going to be absolute trash. But even that 0.1% at, like, that user base, there's going to be thousands, well, I think, like, tens of thousands of gems.
The big challenge for that is making a track editor that is both powerful and intuitive. And that's a really big challenge, because nobody has done it.
They had a decent thing.
I mean, clearly they haven't, because the levels they've released aren't great.
They had a decent thing going with the Lebo, the motorbike racing game. How you could use the IR camera to, like, point at a shape and it would generate a track based on what you were showing. Like, they had some cool... Obviously, that wasn't a fully featured track editor. You couldn't, like, place grandstands and obstacles and all that around. But in terms of how it... Like, a starting point, like, that was fairly robust. So they've done stuff like that in the past, and I think they could do something with it. But, yeah, I don't see them doing anything track-related in terms of, like, 3D games, because I think it just becomes too complex for what Nintendo would be aiming to do.
Well, that's why I think, right, like... I think it's possible, but, like, nobody has, like, made, like, a 3D track editor that is intuitive and easy to use. And I think Nintendo could do it.
I would argue Mod Nation Races did a fairly good job of that back on the PlayStation.
Mod Nation 3. Races. Oh my god, I've not heard that name in so long.
Because the folks that did that were United Front Games, and they did, of all things, the game that was set in Hong Kong. Sleeping Dogs, that was them. But they did that, and that was based off Little Big Planet. But they got the kart racing so perfect in that game, Disney hired them to do the kart racing for the Disney Infinity series. So, like, they did a fairly good job, but again, there was a generic layer, and then when you wanted to do anything above that, it became super complex. But that's the same with Little Big Planet as a whole. Generic, simple stuff was fine, but anything beyond that was super complex.
Anyway, that was the 3DS and Wii U discussion. just turned into talking about Mod Nation races. I mean, it wouldn't be a Vootcast if we didn't go wildly off topic.
I mean, this is the Vootcast, you know, Australia's tangent podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we should probably move on so we don't, like, have a 3-hour-long episode that we can't upload and then it costs us money. Let's quickly talk about the games that we're playing. So I'll go first, just to get it out of the way. I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush Duel, Dawn of the Battle Royale. Super cheap on Switch recently, but I actually bought it like a year ago. It's quite a fun little Yu-Gi-Oh! Game that uses like a stripped down version of the rule set that is a lot easier to wrap your head around than modern Yu-Gi-Oh! And something like Master Duel. Also been playing on PC Mini Shoot Adventures, which sounds like a bit of a generic title, but it's basically like a top-down Zelda game, but a twin-stick shooter with like bullet hell bosses. It's got like some like light Metroidvania elements. It's a really neat game. And I've also been playing Botany Manor on the Switch, which is basically a puzzle game where you go around like trying to figure out how to make particular seeds for plants bloom. So like some of them will be like, oh, you know, this one, you know, you need to make the seed crack and start, you know, becoming a seedling by like heating it up, and then in order for it to actually grow you need to figure out what environment it comes from and, you know, make smoke from the wood from that environment. So it's got like point and click adventure logic in a really fun way. So yeah, Botany Manor, check it out. I think it comes out on the 10th, which is probably about when this episode will come out, so yeah. Also runs fine on Switch, so yeah. Michael, you've still been playing Hell games.
Yep, Hell-based games. So still playing Hell Let Loose, the World War II game. Literally playing it last night for 6 hours, so good times. Helldivers 2 still, and I played through all of Portal 1 RTX, which was really, really nice. The game is goddamn beautiful. So, so, so nice. Everything that NVIDIA is doing to give that game like a cheeky upgrade has been working really, really well.
Yeah, and that's basically like the test bed for their platform to add RTX to older games, right?
Yeah, it uses the, whatever that tech's called, I can't remember.
Yeah, just something silly.
Well, they released that tech in beta form for modders, and they've been using Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind to show it off, how it works. Mm. So,
but yeah, this is great. Like, everything looks incredible. Like, it has the... Well, it's been updated with all the latest features. So it's got DLSS 3.5. So it's got ray reconstruction and frame generation. And yeah, it's just... They've just nailed it. It looks and runs really well.
Yeah. Luke, tell us about the games that you've been playing.
I mean, I've been playing the God of War games. I finished off Ghost of Sparta, which is the PSP title, which is the one that introduced and then killed off his brother. Because Kratos had a brother that, you know... And I say it when I'm playing it, but anytime there's a prequel to anything, you can't do a story in a prequel because it doesn't matter. You know, the moment you put a character in that we don't see again, you know, that's not in the original game. It's like, cool. Like, Star Wars does it with Ahsoka Tano, right? She was in the Clone Wars. It's like, cool. So obviously she dies at the end of this, right? Because, you know, the only Jedi around that we know about was Yoda and Obi-Wan. And then, you know, they go, oh no, she's around after all the stuff in the original trilogy. It's like, okay. So there was somebody who was fighting the Empire, just didn't pop up during the giant battles against the Empire. Sure, it makes sense. So yeah, prequel stuff is always fun. But I finished that off, been playing God of War 2 now. I put time into Gold Road, the new expansion for Elder Scrolls Online, last weekend. That's obviously not coming out till June, so it's still a ways away for that one, but their scribing system is pretty, pretty in depth. It's the one that lets you build up your own skills, so you can take like the ability to have like a fireball, and then you can add a range, like an area of effect to the fireball, and then you could add a staggering effect. So if somebody gets hit with it, you know, they're staggered for 20 seconds or something. So you can make your own spells and moves that way. I also played through South Park Snow Day, which was fine. It looked like South Park 64 anytime you saw any character not front on. South Park does not work in 3D. It never has, and it never will. Like we see it all the time with anime games, you know, like the Dragon Ball games and Naruto. Whenever they go 3D, there's something about them that doesn't look right, because those characters have been locked into 2D since their conception. So, but South Park, it plays fine. It's definitely one to play with friends, because playing on your own, the difficulty spikes will decimate you. I also put in time into Sin Duality Echoes of Ada, which is another Bandai Namco game. That's a closed beta that I can talk about, but that's fine. That's just a fun, you know, looter shooter, but you're in a giant mech, so that's fine. And then put time in the Rise of the Ronin, so I finished that off after the last episode. But yeah, I have Botany Matter. That's what I'm playing this afternoon. I'm gonna get stuck into that one then. So
yeah. As long as this episode comes out on April 10 or later, we should be fine. Alrighty, moving on to Nintendo 20 questions. So I am the person with the answer this time.
Well, we hope you're the person with the answer this time.
Oh, so do I. So yeah, I picked a game. I don't believe it's been done before. But we'll see.
I was just going to say, well, tell us what it is. We'll say if it's been done before.
Yeah. I was like, if only we had a handy list to record the games we've done that you can check. But I guess we'll find out. All right. So, user question. Did this come out on or after January 1st, 2010?
It did, yes.
Okay.
All right. On or after 2010. Was this game released on a handheld platform?
No. Yes.
Is it no or yes?
Oh my god, how is question two already controversial?
You can play this game handheld, yes. You can play this game handheld. That's... Alright, I'm going to be real with you. Like, Angelo's not here. You get a hand. It's on Switch. Like, let's be real. Okay. I can't answer that question because it's both.
Right, cool.
Okay. I think we established plenty of times at this point that we count the Switch as a home console.
Yeah, but like, it's also a handheld platform, so...
Yeah, it is, but it's not exclusively that. So...
Yeah. Either way, it's on Switch. Easy. That's about 4 trillion games. Oh man. Was this game developed in Japan?
I don't believe so. No. I would be surprised if it was developed in Japan. But no, it's not developed in Japan.
Okay.
Okay. Was this game well received? I'll ask that one first.
Yeah, I think it was well received, in general.
Does this game have any combat?
This game does have combat, yeah.
So in my mind, I'm jumping to the Cadence of Hyrule game. That's where I've leapt to, so just put that out there now.
Yeah.
Was this game released as a downloadable title first?
Yes, it was released as a downloadable title first.
So that knocks out pretty much anything.
God, that probably knocks out a huge amount of games. Does that apply to Cadence of Hyrule? I don't even know. Did that get a physical release immediately?
It has never been physically released.
Oh, of course it doesn't. Oh, wait. Did it? No. Oh, wait. Has it got a physical release? Am I going crazy?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Cadence of Hyrule does have a physical release, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it did.
Happened after its DLC came out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, day one it didn't get one, but... Does this game feature recognizable Nintendo characters?
No, it does not.
Alright, well, there goes Cadence of Hyrule.
Oh, man.
It's a downloadable game that has combat that wasn't made in Japan. Was this game exclusive to the Switch?
It is not exclusive to Switch, no.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a genre. Would you define this game as an action-adventure game?
No, I wouldn't say it's an action-adventure game.
Combat, but not an action-adventure game.
So it'd be like an RPG or like a puzzle game that has some combat in it.
First-person shooter?
Yeah.
Would this game be considered an RPG?
This game would not be considered an RPG.
Because I was going to say, I was thinking Elder Scrolls Blades. Because I'm mobile, but the only other platform was Switch. So, all right. Does this game take place from a first-person point of view?
This game does take place in the first-person point of view.
So that knocks out any isometric turn-based games or something like that.
First-person game. Oh, man.
I'm not keeping track of how many you have. I assume Luke is.
I am. That's 11 okay. questions.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
It's literally...
I was like, I'm certainly not.
That side of the screen. Okay, so it's a first-person game with combat elements. It's not an RPG. It's not an action-adventure.
Would this game be considered a first-person shooter?
I would say that it's a first-person shooter, yeah.
You would say it's a first-person shooter.
Because I'm just trying to think what games would be around that would be first-person that were received well and were digital only at launch. And not Switch exclusive.
Digital only at launch.
Was this game developed by a well-known developer? So it's not like Joe's Discount Chicken. And
no, I think it's a well-known developer, yeah.
Okay. That sort of knocks out, you know, a single game indie developer.
Was this game developed in... Oh, sorry, go.
I was going to say, it could be something like Boomerang X from Devolver Digital that's first person, not technically a shooter, but it's you throw a boomerang. There's some puzzle elements in it. It's digital only. It's PC, Switch. But that's just speculation.
Was this game developed in Northern America?
This game was developed in North America.
Is it something like hella basic, well, not basic bitch, but like something that like's really like a Doom or a Overwatch?
Well, because you asked if it was a first-person shooter, and he didn't say it was. He said,
"No, I said it was."
No, he said it was a first-person shooter. Oh.
I mean, Overwatch 2 has never been released physically.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a big fuck you to me. I feel like this is... just bully Michael.
So oh my definitely God. Was made by well-known developer.
Developers. Which was the...
it wasn't
Doom,
not
obviously,
any of the
Doom obviously was, but I don't think the Doom ports were done by anyone super well-known, Panic Button. Right?
Panic Button's kind of well-known for Switch ports. They've done all the Bethesda stuff. Except Skyrim. Does this game feature multiplayer?
This game does feature multiplayer, yeah.
Well, there's not Boomerang X.
If this is fucking Overwatch, I'm gonna quit the fucking podcast.
Is this game from a series that Michael now despises?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. I don't know what Michael despises.
Well, then it's not Overwatch.
Only he
then.
Can answer that question.
I was like, yeah, it can't be Overwatch because you would definitely know that. Oh, so God.
It's a shooter with multiplayer made by a. Oh, no. I can't. Does this game feature characters from multiple universes like Star Wars and Tomb Raider?
No.
Okay, well, it's not Fortnite then.
No, I didn't think about Fortnite. Did any of the Borderlands games have multiplayer? Or has co-op, right?
Yeah, well, so they don't have, like, multiplayer in the fact that, you know, we're fighting against each other, but they're all cooperative multiplayer.
The Borderlands?
It's not Bioshock, because Bioshock never got any multiplayer.
Not on Switch. I had it on PC, yeah. Bioshock 2 had multiplayer, I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, honestly, can't write. I just have a feeling that Bioshock had multiplayer. Maybe not.
I don't recall it having multiplayer. But it's been a while since I've even considered 2 as a game. I always go the original and then Infinite.
I guess it also could be... I guess it still could be a Doom or a Quake or something like that. But it said it initially came out download only, right?
Yeah. So the two Quake games on Switch are digital only, but the Dooms, only the older ones are digital only. Doom 2016 and Eternal both got physical releases.
Did Borderlands come out digital only to begin with?
No. I mean, you get one half of one game on a cart and the rest are all downloads, but...
How many questions have we had?
That's 16 questions, so we've got 3 and a guess left.
Should we ask if we have mentioned the game? The meta question?
Yeah, we don't really have much, so can't hurt us.
Have we mentioned the game?
You have not mentioned the game.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I really thought this was going to be so much easier than it has been.
Oh my god, I cannot think of anything.
Okay, so it's a first-person shooter, multi-platform, has multiplayer, produced by somebody who's well-known, digital-only at launch.
Digital-only first-person shooter?
And it doesn't feature well-known Nintendo characters, so it knocks out...
It's not a Doom game, and it's not Quake, and it's not Fortnite, and it's not Overwatch, and it's not Borderlands, because you mentioned all those freaking games.
So we didn't mention Metroid Prime until just now. So that's not included in that meta question, but
yeah, it doesn't have multiplayer, well, right?
No. Was it 2 had multiplayer? 3. One of them had multiplayer.
Oh my god, I do not believe.
Because I'm running through my head about games that have come out, and god, what about Apex Legends?
Is that a physical release?
It had things in stores, mostly just codes in a box, but it's technically a physical release.
All right. How many questions do we have? Two and a guess?
Two and a guess, yeah.
All right, I'm going to burn one. Is this game mainly multiplayer?
This game is mainly multiplayer, yes.
Okay. Maybe Apex.
Because I'm trying to think about what other multiplayer games that are first-person shooters have come to Switch. Because you could say things like Knockout City, but that was third-person dodgeball. I kind of think it's Apex. I can't think of anything else that it could be.
Apex is a good one. I didn't even think about Apex as existing. I know Dan plays or played a ton of it on Switch. I don't know if he still does anymore.
I know he played a lot of it on PS5. Because he didn't want to play it on Switch because he didn't want to lose all his progress. But one of the updates coming this year is that they're doing actual cross-progression. So if you play on PC or Switch or PS5, they'll all transfer across. Is this game set within a universe that also features giant mech suits?
It is set within a universe that also features giant mech suits.
Well done. That's basically like the last like multiplayer shooter that we could possibly like think of. That isn't a Nintendo one, at least.
Honestly, it's because I don't think of Apex on Switch. I know it's there.
Yeah, neither.
When I think of Apex, I think PC usually, so.
Yeah, like I think... Is Apex even still big anymore? Like, do people play Apex?
Yeah, like, people play Apex a lot.
I guess it has to be that, right? Like, well, we have one more question than the guess, right?
So we're on the guess.
Oh, we're on the guess. Damn, okay. Well, yeah, I guess it. It has to be. If it's not Apex, I'm willing to take the L.
Alright, is this game Apex Legends?
Alright. So, at the very last second there, I was like, I could change it to something else, and then fuck you over just so you get it wrong. Because all of the boxes that you ticked could also apply to Wolfenstein Youngblood, or whatever it was, the co-op multiplayer game.
Oh, it has co-op. I thought about Wolfenstein, but I was like, that isn't a multiplayer. What are we talking about?
The Youngblood game, yeah, is a co-op first game. But I'm going to be nice to you because you did get it. So released first on the PS4, PC, and Xbox One in February 2019, and then on Nintendo Switch in 2021. It is Apex Legends, a first-person hero shooter from Respawn Entertainment set in the Titanfall universe.
Nice. Well done.
I really thought you were going to get
Luke
it. We're
coming
like,
in with a win. No, just like it, like I think, like Luke was saying, it's one of those games that you just don't associate with Switch like at all. Like, our brain just did not go there.
Like I just love how your brain went to Overwatch, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's fine. Overwatch is fine, and then we just never considered any other hero shooter.
I was so focused on being bullied by Ollie that I was like, never.
Yeah, so Apex Legends, I mean, I was struggling a bit with, like, was it received well? Because it wasn't initially received super well on Switch, but it was as a game.
Yeah, the game itself definitely well received, yeah, that's fair.
And yeah, it's still absolutely gigantic. In fact, it is one of the biggest games ever in Japan. Basically, like, everybody who plays games in Japan plays Apex Legends.
Whenever I'm on a call for Apex... it's for the region that we're in. Japan's always in there. It's always folks in Japan on these things. Yeah. So,
and whenever there's a big Apex update, we cover that at work, and it's one of the best performers that we have. So, yeah, people really like Apex Legends. So
I think I'm just so out of the loop with like free to play games for the most part. Like I played Apex when it first came out, and it's enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. Like it has great mechanics. Just doesn't hold me.
I think it's because it doesn't have Hell in the title. If it was called Hell Legends, you'd be all over it.
Definitely.
Alrighty. Well, my script just disappeared. There we go. That about wraps up this week's VookCast. So be sure to visit the site www.vooks.net for all your Nintendo news, reviews, and everything in between. To keep up to date, follow the site on Twitter at vooks.net or jump on over to our Discord. There's a link on the main vooks.net website. You can find all of the host's social information and links for all of these stories covered in this episode in the episode notes on whatever platform you're listening to. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next fortnight.